CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are here. It is live on a Thursday. It's if you hear a lot of noise, especially from me, if you hear thunder and lightning, it's because there is thunder and lightning in the background. It's a stormy morning. Yes, I love waking up to this weather. It's absolutely my favorite way to wake up. A little bit of thunder, a little bit of rain. And I woke up and there wasn't any, and then it slowly started to come in. I thought, oh yes, this I like a lot. Makes you feel...
It is fantastic weather.
Yeah, I mean, it's even better, obviously, if you can lie in bed with it going on. But yeah, we got shit to do this morning. We have people to see. What's that in Bolella?
Can't have it all.
No, you can't have it all. No, you're right, absolutely. But you know what? I'm fairly pleased with this morning as it presents itself to us. We've got quite a lot to do today. We're going to speak to Marika over at Lotto Land, because who the hell isn't fantasizing about winning a lottery? We're going to speak to Sean Sanders about what you would do with the money if you did win the lottery, and even if you haven't got a lot of money, what you could do, especially during these, you know, times of economic uncertainty. And then we're going to speak to Canton and Pumi and the crew, and we've even got a special guest this morning for the Burning Platform, which is always worthwhile. So by the end of the show today, you'll know more than everybody else that you encounter during the course of the day. Hopefully. I mean, unless
you get money from Marika, Sean will give you some advice with that money, and
right.
Then for the Burning Platform, you can see which future election you could fund with that money.
There we go.
That's why.
I mean, you know, could you wish for more? Really?
Exactly.
You couldn't wish for more.
Not if you're reasonable.
Not if you're reasonable. No, I wouldn't. Yeah. Would you ever, if you had like billions of rands, would you ever give it to a political candidate? I mean, I always think when I look at these rich people and I see how they want to intervene and interfere in elections, I'm always like, why would you waste, like, what do you care? You're rich enough to, you're one of the few creatures on earth that doesn't have to care about what goes on politically. So why would you?
You have to grease the wheels of power. Yeah, like the great thing about the billionaires is they want to get bureaucracy out the way. So you got to listen. He who pays the piper plays the tune. You got to take care of it. That's what they're doing.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they also. I think their egos eventually get too much for them, and they realize like they can't buy enough stuff, so they have to start buying election results and like carving out a place for themselves in history. Maybe that explains some of it.
Because power's nice.
Become billionaires?
Sorry, Pums?
How do you think they become billionaires?
Yeah, the ego.
Dumb.
No. The economy's got to work. The government's got to work. All of these things.
So they take more of an interest. And so it's maybe it's not always selfish. Maybe it's actually down to like, okay, I've done well. Let me reward the system by helping prop it up.
So it's not necessarily I've done well, so let me prop up the system. It's if your country's broken, if your government is broken, then no matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter because what? Imagine being the richest guy in Syria right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Because it's worthless, right? If you're in Syria. I mean, how many people do you know in Zimbabwe who have money and all they do is just try and find ways to get it out? And it's worthless in Zimbabwe. Yeah.
So if everything is broken, your money is useless.
No, that's a good point. There's a lot to discuss this morning and we don't have a huge amount of time. So I want to get straight to the stuff that I know is on everybody's minds. I mean, first of all, I think we'll save the U.S. election stuff for a little bit later on because that's still a developing story. And my God, is it complicated, huh? I mean, really, I think it's so complicated, and it is not over yet. And I don't think it's going to be over for some time. There are going to be so many challenges, which I did kind of predict on Monday or Tuesday. I said this is likely what's going to happen, but there's other stuff going on that we need to talk about. And whenever we have Pumi here, and maybe we should also save this for the Burning Platform, but I know you've been watching the Zondo Commission this week. I just want to ask your opinion on this Kwinana woman, because You know, again, like these really terrible people are coming out of the woodwork. I'd never heard her name until now. Did you know who she was until this week?
Yes.
Oh, you did.
I did.
You know, so you're more informed than I am.
What did I say to you guys last week when we were talking about SAA payout? No. Did I not tell you that this is the week to watch the Zondo Commission?
I know.
Because when I see the memes, I feel like I really have missed out now.
Ah, see ya. We're not going to have time to have this full conversation on the Burning Platform. But guys, it's all going down now. Diggy down.
Well, do you think anything will happen after the Zondo Commission? Because now we've got all this information. You would think that, you know, someone would be in a mood or in a mind to do something with it. And obviously the commission has much work ahead of it. Its scope is so enormous. But
it's all up to Shamila, is it not? It's all up to Shamila Badoy what happens with all of the stuff that comes out. Because remember that the commission is not meant to be a court. It is meant to ventilate issues and give us all insight into what went wrong where. Then the NPA must step in and do their work, where they have struggled to get, as they would say, where they've struggled to get information, where they have struggled to get kind of background, and their detecting work has been thwarted. Yeah. These are the moments. These are the moments where they should be furiously taking notes, bringing in people for questioning, charging people. Because there is no amnesty. So when you go to the commission, you haven't, which is also, I mean, yesterday, very frustratingly for a lot of people, you know, as you know, Dudumieni was on, and her response almost to everything was, I'm not going to answer that because it might incriminate me.
In case I incriminate myself, end of quote.
Jesus, that's unbelievable.
End of quote.
Wow, what a path to go down. Well, I mean, you can't say that things are boring at the moment. There's certainly a lot going on. Now, Pums, I saw a picture of yours on Facebook. You donated blood for the first time yesterday.
Not yesterday, on Saturday. It's a hectic experience because it's a very big needle. Because Kadeho was the one that said, "Mommy, do you think I could donate?" We saw the thing is like we were at the in fact we were at Lifestyle, our friends at Lifestyle.
And okay,
like, that's sweet.
Do you think I could donate? So we went over to ask, and then I was too embarrassed to say, "Okay, I can't donate because I'm afraid of the needle." After they said, so peer pressure from a 13-year-old, guys.
And how did it all go? Was it horrible, or was it something you felt good about?
It's only horrible in the moment of the prick, right? In the moment that it goes in, and then it's not horrible. Then you're just so I do have a bit of a blood flow issue. So when I cut myself, I bleed quite, so the guys were kind of like, oh, you know. So it didn't take as long as it normally does.
Yeah.
Because the blood flow is good, you know.
Right. Sure. How much do they take from you? I mean, is it quite a lot?
They are only allowed to take no more than, I think he said, 250. So it's just a cup. I mean, it's not a lot of your blood, something like a maximum of about 10%
But I also think for most people it's not so traumatic up until you see the bag or the pint of your blood. No, like if you look down, you're like, oh wait, that's like an unnatural thing to see.
Your head can really start spinning. That's what freaks me out. So I've donated blood 2 or 3 times, and then I've often been to the pathologists, you know, when they do those either the allergy tests or you know, the HIV test, which they've done with me a couple of times before. In fact, we've even done it in studio. And those are small amounts. Those are not big amounts.
But that's a tiny, like a little
thing. But it almost doesn't matter how much they take. It's like once, as you say, once that needle goes in,
And also there's certain questions that they ask you beforehand to make sure that you've been safe and whatnot. And I learned the hard way about that questionnaire because I started donating blood while I was in high school. And, you know, they used to come to our school and it was a very seamless process. And it was only when I got out of school and I was back with my parents again and we went to a shopping mall with my mother and so it was a bit of your situation. I was with my mother and we saw them with their pop-up center. I was like, Mom, we need to go. Let's go save lives. All of those great things. We walk in. I'm so proud of myself. And then they start the question of asking, like, have you had sex in the past 3 months? Oh. And my mother was there. And I'm like, made for a very interesting ride home. Let me just put it that way. Having to explain that to my mother.
You could have asked for a little bit of privacy. You could have said, Mom, can I just
and that gets even more suspicious.
Yeah. But it is a little, but it afterwards you do. At least I felt a little like a hero, right? I felt like a superhero. I was like, oh, you know, you don't even have to know the people you save, right? You've sent your blood out into the world and it can help someone. It's so nice. It's quite a lovely little feeling. Really, really lovely feeling.
I'm glad you feel that way. I had the opposite feeling. So I said I've donated once or twice, and I did. I remember it even at the SABC once we did it, and I didn't have a pleasant experience. I don't enjoy needles. I mean, who does, you know? But then, I got up afterwards and I did feel like a little bit faint because they obviously took too much. No, seriously. And since then, I've decided, you know what? Fuck that. I'm not
worth it.
People like Pumi can donate blood and I'll stay here and use it up when I need it. I'm not donating any. You're not going to get a kidney. I'm not a blood donor. I'm not an organ donor. Go to hell. Find someone else to help you.
What are you going to do when you die with your organs? Take them with you to the pearly gates?
I don't think anyone will want my organs by the time I'm done with them.
Oh, no, fair enough. That's also a good point.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be very valuable.
Yeah, you worked at Vegas and Plett for every matric dance party for 15 years.
If I died tomorrow, you wouldn't want my organs. I don't have terrible diseases and things, but I don't think I'm the fittest, healthiest person on earth. They're much younger, much more useful organs in the world than mine, so I'm not even near the middle of the queue.
Yeah. No, that's humble. I like it.
Every organ counts. And you know, so obviously every organ counts.
That sounds like Oprah trying to counsel a broken marriage, you know, like, oh, just love each other harder.
Yeah.
That's exactly. A beautiful slogan. I don't know if it's just going to catch on, though.
Love each other harder.
Every organ counts. Oh, God. That's good.
By the way, I've got to tell you about this just before we speak to Marika, because I am kind of having a lot of fun with this Lotto Land. I went on and I took part in the German Lotto and the Italian one, out of sheer interest and curiosity. And they're quite nice big jackpots as well. I didn't win either of them. In fact, I think there's still one draw today. But I'm having fun. And I told you I won twice on the big one and then got like 65 Rand a time back. But that was cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I had quite a lot of fun. We'll talk to her in a second or two and we'll find out what's going on lottoland.co.za. It's a bunch of different things that you
do
can take
you
part in.
Do you find that when you play, I hardly ever play the lotto, but when I do play the lotto, then your day, every now and again, when your mind wanders, it wanders to that place of, what would I do with all that
for
money?
Me, the whole time. I took the dog yesterday for a walk because I needed a break from all this election coverage. So I used the euphemism, and maybe Bulelo can relate to this. I mean, you're a big sports fan, right? I've never been a sports fan in my life. So I don't watch sport. I don't get it. I don't understand why people get so passionate about it. I've never enjoyed any sport in my life. I've watched World Cup soccer, and I kind of got into the vibe just because there was such an energy around me. And my brother and I used to watch Argentina, so it's kind of like our thing that we do together. But honestly, I've been to, you know, big rugby matches where you are in one of the great boxes at the stadium and there's this atmosphere and all of that stuff. It doesn't do much for me. I could be quite as happy at a rock concert or anywhere else. But I do love the US elections. And in fact, I probably enjoy our elections a little bit too much as well. So that's maybe my kind of sport. The problem is that if you watch 10 rugby matches in a row of, 90 minutes each?
80 minutes. 80 minutes. Close enough. It's in the
whatever. I mean, soccer's 90 minutes each a game, right? So if you watch...
I get the gist of the message, yeah.
If you watch 10 in a row, that would be a lot of time, and you'd be pretty exhausted by the end of it as a fan or not a fan. So I felt yesterday after watching... I pretty much stayed up most of Tuesday night. And then yesterday, I was watching it on and off most of the day and got very little work done. And I felt a little bit like I've wasted a day and a half of my life. And eventually, after sitting there and watching these, you know, because a lot of the reporters and the different channels are just saying the same thing over and over again, because there's not a lot of new information. You know, they might get a new batch of votes in or whatever. But by, it was probably about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's too emotionally taxing on me to be a fan of this kind of excitement. And now I need to get out. So I took the dog for a walk, and I was just walking and thinking, I'd rather be considering what I'd win in the lotto here than watching, you know, watching any more of this political nonsense that's going on. But it is fascinating, and you can't really tear yourself away from it. So if you're the same as me, I totally understand.
I couldn't actually believe that we didn't take the opportunity and move the burning platform by a day, because I watched the election late into the night. I woke up at 4.
Yeah.
To see, because that's around the time when they do the magic wall prediction, South African time. I was in it. Yesterday was an incredibly hectic day. Incredibly hectic day. Even now I still have screens going in the bag.
No, that was me.
Fox News.
No, you got to watch them all. So, I mean, I still have
on center.
My own little.
Yeah, the Pumi Mashiho Election Center. All right, so listen, I want to talk to Marika. We know that there are a bunch of different lottos going on at the moment, and whatever your feelings about sport or about politics or about anything else, it would be great to have some more money in the bank, even if it was only a 65 rand win, which I've had, or if it was the big 7 billion rands that you get on some of these lottos. So we're going to speak to Marika Hayward, who is the marketing manager for Lotto Land in South Africa. You don't have to miss out on your chance to win. And Lotto Land has exciting opportunities running just for you. So Marika's here to tell us more. Hey, Marika, what's happening?
Morning, Gareth. So tonight, like you say, it's the Italian, we call it the Italian Stallion,
yes.
The Super Inner Lotto.
Right.
And its payout is standing currently at 1.1 billion rand. Then on Friday, that's usually a nice day to bet, because we've got the Euro jackpot. That's standing at 623 million rand. Mm. And the Euro Millions is currently on 736 million rand. Then over the weekend, we've got the two US giants, the Mega Millions, which is Saturday morning, 5 a.m., which is now currently standing at 5.6 billion. Jeez. And on Sunday, the US Powerball dropped now to an only 6 billion rand.
Listen, only 6 billion rand. I mean, any of those would be nice. So I'm interested in which lottos are kind of more exciting and which ones South Africans are mostly taking part in. Obviously, the big ones get most of the attention. But some of these little ones are much more regular, right? And their payouts are sometimes quite impressive.
Exactly. And so definitely 100% right. The US Powerball is the favorite. Second to that is the Mega Millions. And then the German Lotto. So you said you've played the German Lotto. And We really had a few winners on that already.
Right.
We actually yesterday got quite a big winner again. So we're quite excited about that. So that's a tip. But I'm going to quickly just jump to a very interesting lottery that's happening on the 22nd of December. So we call it the Christmas lottery. Now, that is actually such a fun thing to take part in. So the Spanish Christmas lottery is the biggest lottery in the world. And it takes place on the 22nd of December. Apparently, it's a big tradition in Spain. And oh, yeah? Everybody gets together and watch this event take place. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Yeah.
So the collective prize money is 38 billion. So remember, this is now collective prize money. And the fun thing about this is you stand a chance, one out of 100,000, to win a prize. So there's a really, really good chance for you to win a prize. And you will see this is more like a raffle, not the actual lottery. So in Spain, you actually go and buy tickets. So you don't choose your own numbers. Then the draw takes place and lasts for about 3 hours. So they actually pull tickets out of two drums. And there's also
the old school way, the way that we used to watch the thing here in this country.
Yeah, but that was balls. Remember, that was Nimrod, and he was drawing the ball. So that is actually, you actually buy a ticket. You don't choose your own numbers.
All right.
Do you remember that with Nimrod drawing the balls? Yes, I remember.
Absolutely.
I loved it. I loved it. But anyway, so so there's various prize tiers, and you can actually go on the website, go under the Christmas lottery and look under the product rules, and you'll see there's different payouts. So, I mean, one out of 100,000 to win a prize. So the odds is really, really good.
Very good,
good
odds, yeah.
And Marika, can you watch it here? So I'm listening to you. I'm thinking, can I watch it? Because you talk about Nimrod. That's part of the fun, right? Is sitting there in anticipation and watching all of your numbers not come up.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm scared. I'm not sure. It's like the election. You know, you can actually, because it's live, people actually sit in taverns and restaurants and watch this, the draw takes place. So, I mean, if you can connect to those channels, definitely you can. But on Lotterland, we actually give you the results. So we will email you the results. So it's not as exciting as watching it, but at least you will know what the results will be. So I think for Christmas, this is a nice thing to do.
Mm. I think that sounds awesome. Listen, I'm up for anything that's got Christmas in the name. I mean, I can't believe Christmas is less than a month and a half away. Well, a month and 20 days or so. Sure.
You and Mariah Carey both.
I know she has a jackpot. Mariah Carey hits the jackpot every Christmas because she gets that "I don't want a lot for Christmas" song, that or what "All I want for Christmas is you." Then she hits the jackpot every year. That's her big money maker. Yeah, it's really good. All right, so listen, we've got a Christmas lotto, we've got the Italian one. We've got the German one, which I tried yesterday. There's plenty of places for you to try and win. Marika, I must just quickly tell you, I got locked out of my account the other day. I told you about that when we last spoke. And I had someone call me, and your guys are really, really good. I mean, I'm sure they didn't just do this because it was me, because this is clearly how they treat everybody. They helped me log back in, and then I could sort out all the issues that were involved, and I carried on betting. So it was good fun. Thank you.
Great. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, very, very impressive. All right. Thank you very much, Marika. Marika Haywood is with lottoland.co.za. You can go and find out more by heading over to lottoland.co.za. And you can also find out more on cliffcentral.com. That's something that's going on every day. Very exciting.
Mm.
All right. So, listen, we've got five things you need to know now because it's just about 6:30. Let's go straight to those and see what the headlines are. First of all, from News24 this morning, Professor Adam Habib says we need to speak honestly about incompetent state officials. Oh, really?
Operative term, being honest.
So what were we doing before then, Adam? I mean, I don't have a problem with Adam Habib, but it seems to me there are so many people in South Africa who are only waking up to the fact that the ANC is crooked and corrupt now, and they all think that they've stumbled upon some great hidden truth. You know, I mean, this is the guy who's the vice chancellor of a tertiary education institution. He spends his day around smart people, you would think. And he says like it's some, and the News 24 reports it like it's something we've never thought of before. Oh, that's a good idea. They go, you know, It's necessary to speak honestly about incompetent state officials in order to create some inclusive social economic policies. You don't say.
Oh.
I'm just, let's all take a minute to consider just how absolutely breakthrough the University of the Witwatersrand has been. And their chancellor, their outgoing vice chancellor, how great this idea is, because this is truly revolutionary. You know, it goes right up there with the invention of the wheel and fire and technology, computing.
The bikini.
ANC corruption. This is a novel idea. Thank you, Adam Habib. How would we have ever discovered this if not for the hard work of so many brilliant people at Wits University? Anybody?
Yeah.
Right.
Academic smart doesn't mean street smart. Jesus. And I'm torn because he's a great scientist.
Well, is he? Is he? The commission,
a good scientist, not so smart, though, in real life.
The Commission of Inquiry into State Capture, speaking of corruption, may approach the Constitutional Court to get former President Jacob Zuma to answer questions in the forum, according to a letter that his lawyer said he received. Zuma is scheduled to appear before the commission sometime this month, 16 to 20 of November, apparently. He appeared in July last year, and subsequent attempts at scheduling his return have been stymied by illness.
Has he got the Shabir Shakes again?
Or a prior engagement, you know, like having to attend a birthday party or something.
His social schedule is very important.
Very, very full, yeah, totally.
Ubaba has fallen ill. Shem. The Shabir Shakes will get you there. They'll blindside you.
Shem. So we'll see what happens there. There's Gedlehlegis being slippery as always. And then we've got this from News 24 as well. Five people are in the dock for allegedly running a 20 million rand Ponzi scheme in Cape Town. I don't know how many times we have to say this, but you know, investing is a really, and we'll talk to Sean Sanders about this later on, because people think if, you know, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true, then it's not true. But five people appeared in court for allegedly running a Ponzi scheme involving 20 million rand, the Hawks in the Western Cape said on Wednesday. Spokesperson Pilani Nkwalase said that these people, Nobisutu Phyllis Mdegazi, Tumisa Mdegazi, that's obviously a relative, Piliswa Ntsabo, Bulelwa Siwisa, and Nombulelo Benyane. Those are the people who were running this Ponzi scheme. They appeared in the Bellville Serious Commercial Crimes Court on Tuesday. A Ponzi scheme relies on a continuous flow of new investors to pay out an earlier wave. So, you know, you get these, they basically, it's a pyramid scheme. That's what it is. And and people will come to you and say, well, if you join this thing under me, then you will earn X amount of money. And then if you sign on five people, you'll earn X amount of money from each of them. And if they each sign that many people, then you'll end up a millionaire. And I believe it or not, since lockdown, I've seen an absolute proliferation of these things. They're everywhere. And people join them because they think, well, you know what? I maybe don't have a job. This sounds like an opportunity. If I just work really hard, I can make some money. And of course, they never do. Because if you're not at the top of the Ponzi scheme, you don't make any money.
But also it's because, well, you know, Gareth is telling me to do it, so, and I know Gareth, so sure, I should join in. And not to say that there's a hierarchy of the horrible things you can do. Horrible is horrible. But, you know, it's quite shitty to swindle people out of their money one-on-one. Like, these people aren't hacking into banks and taking money out of your account. You are going to meet these people. You're saying that they might be old and naive and they really are believing in you and they're handing over their savings, and you still take that. You must be one sick person to do that.
I'm all for
WhatsApp pyramid schemes. Months ago, WhatsApp pyramid scheme bonus.
I had people
to make money, guys.
I had people I've known for like 2 or 3 years, so not like old friends, but people I've known for a while. I promise you, calling me up saying, hey, I've got this great opportunity. Do you want to invest? I'm like, really?
Hey, you want to hear my favorite one? Is I've got people trying to sell me, like I can see your stomach hanging out over your shorts. You're trying to sell me health products. You know, there's all these, you are trying to sell me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, look at me and look at you, and you're trying to tell me how I can get healthier by drinking only 6 weeks of your shakes. What are we doing here?
Exactly. Come on.
And I just want to say with these guys, they're not ambitious enough because, and it's a waste of state resources going after 20 million. We had a guy upgrade his house for 240 million, and then we've got Upushir. 20 million, you're not ambitious. Uh-huh.
No, we'll talk. And listen, we'll talk about Bushiri just now, but that's a whole other story. And then
it was all happening yesterday.
Such a busy week.
It's the U.S. election. Yeah. It's Zondo Commission. It's Bushiri in court. Guys.
Whoa, sorry. Have some respect there, Papa Bushiri, please.
So Boris Johnson has said, I promise that what we'll do is we'll properly end this second lockdown on the 2nd of December. He's promised because...
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus. talk about a bunch of morons. So he said on Wednesday,
How's he doing on that Brexit?
Jesus. Despite suggestions that it could be extended if it fails to cut infections, Johnson told Parliament the restrictions which come into effect on Thursday, that's today, would end automatically on December the 2nd. And by the way, I'm suddenly seeing a whole lot of my friends in the UK and in Europe who were all big, like, lockdown fans. Now that it's suddenly hitting home and they're all going into second lockdowns, I see a lot of them saying the things that I was saying back in March. And I know, who cares, right? I mean, like, it's very much I told you so, but oh my God, are they suddenly waking up to a hard reality? Because those businesses which weren't already decimated by the first lockdown are going to be finished off properly by this one. And I think a lot of people are coming to that realization. And you know what happens then is that you have a population in certain countries in Europe which is now wholly dependent on the welfare of the state. And the minute you're dependent on the state, you're in big trouble. Big, big trouble, as poor people in this country will tell you.
But remember, with this lockdown, they say that businesses can still operate and schools will still remain open.
So how do you operate your restaurant when it's a hard lockdown? How do you operate a car wash? How do you operate any of those things that you have a little shop, a spaza shop? Mm. How do you operate that during a lockdown? Tell me how. It is just unbelievably destructive. And I don't want to go back over territory that we've been over a million times.
But they really do struggle in the UK because there is no people in the world that live in a nanny state like they do, right? Yeah. Maybe Australia that I've visited, but they don't know how to live without structure. You know, us as South Africans, we've been alone since. The government's never cared about any of us. So we know how to get on with it. For them, it is going to be a rough ride.
And they worship that NHS, eh?
Oh, and but they don't know how to deal anything. As soon as anything goes 1% off track, just European people in general. Woo!
I mean, they moan when things go right. So just wait and see how much they start moaning when things start going wrong. And you know, again, like, people just never think about the long term consequences. They're always thinking about the immediate and short term. And we can't help it. That's because we're pretty, you know, we're really not that sophisticated. We're just primates at the top of the primate tree, but we're not necessarily better than we think we are. And all of these people are thinking about the immediate things. Like, I don't want to get sick with coronavirus. And because, again, they've got aging populations, there's an added weight on their demography to those old people. And those old people have more say than they might and should have. And in a country where there's mostly young people, like here, you've seen that we've managed largely to weather the storm much better than Europe has. Places like Italy have been hit very hard because they've got so many old people. So those old people,
you know what,
are mortgaging young people's lives so that they can have more time on earth, which I think is it's disgusting.
You know what for me has been the most fascinating thing to watch with Corona is the fear that people have for their mortality. Like, I could die is such an overriding thing in people, because that's the thing that everybody's afraid of, right? The reason that everybody is the, oh my God. And I found that so fascinating because every moment of every day you live
you
with that
die.
Duality. you get in your car and drive somewhere, you could die. You know what I'm saying? There's so
you eat a peanut, you could die.
Well, yeah. Not most of us.
You could. I mean, didn't George W. Bush almost die with a pretzel?
But there are so many moments. But Corona kind of brought it into the stark reality, brought it so close and so kind of this completely unseen thing. Everybody's fear of dying has just been in our lives constantly over the past 8 months.
And 10 months. Gareth, you're right with referencing the UK and how the slightly elderly are panicking on behalf of young people, because we hadn't discussed this yet. But your Prince William this week announced that he actually did have corona and earlier this year that he hadn't announced it because they didn't want to scare the public. So even with the royal family, they were looking at themselves going, okay, well, Charles has it. Okay, Charles could be tickets. And then William has it. He could be tickets. Then what's everyone going to do? Yeah. Did you know what they had to consider? They had to consider calling Harry back. Because as of the sequence of things, the next in line after William would be one of William's children, but they aren't 21 yet. So the only person could have been Harry to take up that position. What a weird, you know, soapy that would have been.
Oh, no.
The baddest child would have to come back. Yeah.
What would a country have done with people that do nothing?
Yeah. Who would have cut the ribbons and stood there while people sang the national anthem to them? I mean, it's just so
very important.
Yeah. Who would spend the taxpayers' money then? Mm, yes. Who would spend that?
All right. Well, last story in the news this morning, and we'll get to some of this, I'm sure, during the burning platform this morning. But U.S. President Donald Trump alleged on Wednesday that there had been surprise ballot dumps in states which had been leading Democrat Joe Biden in the race for the White House. Last night, I was leading, he said, often solidly in many key states. In almost all instances, Democrat run and controlled. One by one, they started to magically disappear as surprise ballot dumps were counted. I mean, there was one I saw where like 107,000 odd votes for Joe Biden just suddenly came in and not one for Donald Trump on the tally. And I thought, if ever there was a reason to be suspicious, that would be it. You mean out of 107,000 votes that were cast by mail, all of them went to Biden and not one to Trump? Doesn't that strike you as a bit weird? And that happened in Michigan and that happened in Wisconsin. And so they are still very much in the tallying at the moment. And we'll probably only get a proper result by the end of this week. But let's see what happens. I mean, this is fueling all of those descriptions and discussions we've had about election fraud. And I just can't believe, I mean, Gad Saad, who we've had on both the TV show and on this show before, he's a Canadian. He said, I just can't believe that the most sophisticated country and economy in the world cannot add votes better than they have. He said, it's truly bewildering that a country like the United States could have such a devastatingly archaic voting system that is so rife for fraud, contestation, inaccuracies, and uncertainties. And if you watched, like Pumi and I did yesterday, the election results coming in, you see these people, these screens, and you see the numbers going up and the numbers. I mean, it's just, it feels like a lot of it is very, very archaic. Anyway, Gad says, this statement is veridical, irrespective of who wins. It is a broken system that is antithetical to a supposedly enlightened democracy of the 21st century. We can land people on the moon, but we can't create a counting system that is incontestable. We can map the human genome, but we can't create a counting system that is unassailable. It is a disgrace. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't agree with him more.
So the interesting thing about that statement is the fact that it uses the word can't. And for me, it's not about not being able to. It is not being willing to.
Ah, the political will. You must have the political will.
This is, Gareth, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about it, and I said to you, the most fascinating thing about the U.S. is how they have managed to create a perception around the world of what and who they are, which is nothing like what or who they are in real life.
You know,
and the whole world bought into it.
It's 100%. You know, in psychology, they say the bigger the show, so the more showy somebody is, generally they're hiding a sort of an inability to actually be the real thing. So the more pageantry there has to be in something, there's generally something happening. But there's something called Occam's razor, and I think it's really important to apply it to him, is that often the simplest explanation is the truth. In this case, is if things are complicated, there is a reason. We got to go with what's going on in the background here. I think we all know, Gareth. Listen, we can all count. Everyone here can count to 10. 10 votes is 10 votes. Why is it complicated now? I have to. It makes me lean to think so someone's fingers in the pie and somebody has a lot of money. 4 or 5 people need somebody to win. That is the simplest explanation for me.
The fact that this is so close means that actually whoever wins it doesn't have like this incredibly strong mandate that they were hoping for. So we'll have to just see what happens. Mm. All right, I want to turn our attention quickly to Sean Saunders, the co-founder of Revix, and we're going to talk to Sean. He's in Cape Town at the moment. It's that time of the week where we get to look at what's been happening in the world of crypto, and it's been a busy week. So Sean is here to give us the scoop. Sean, Bitcoin at its highest price since January 2018, huh? I see $14,292 this morning.
Yep, it has been a fantastic, fantastic month. Well, November's been good so far, and then October was phenomenal. I mean, you saw 25% plus gains across the board in the crypto space.
It's amazing.
And Bitcoin kind of led the pack. So it's a very good time to be in crypto. And, you know, Bitcoin's now up 92% year to date. And that's against a 3.5% gain for the S&P 500. So it's been a very good year for crypto.
Now, let me just put this in some perspective, because, I mean, that's obviously terrific news for everyone who owns crypto stocks and who's been investing on Revix. But if you had to put that in perspective, if a company had those kinds of results for the year, people would be buying shares left, right, and center.
Oh, yeah, most certainly. If you look at Tesla this year, I mean, Tesla's up about 450% year to date.
Right.
And you know, you've got a whole bunch of advocates for the stock. People mm-hmm. really believe that this is going to be, I mean, this is at the moment the most expensive or most valuable automaker around the world. And they produce probably, I think I'd compare to the top 10 automakers, the least number of cars, which is just, you know, crazy. But people do tend to, you know, when things start increasing in value, they tend to sort of follow the herd. Yeah. And, you know, crypto has been doing this now for quite a while. And there's a big question mark at the moment of saying, well, is this, you know, this market expensive right now, or is it fairly valued, or do we still have a long way to go?
So just out of interest, if crypto goes up, is there any correlation with gold at this stage, the other major product that you guys offer that we've been talking about week after week? How's gold looking? How are precious metals in general?
So Goldman Sachs, I mean, we mentioned this on your show last week. Goldman Sachs came out saying that they believe that there's a very good investment case for precious metals. And now, I personally agree with them. I think that there's a very good case to invest in gold over the next 2 or 3 years, but you're not going to be seeing crypto-like gains. I mean, you're not going to see another 50 or 100% return in gold. I mean, I highly doubt that that's going to be the case. And what you've seen this year is sort of a breakdown in correlation between Bitcoin and gold. I mean, right. Those two have generally been compared to one another, and you've seen periods of maybe 2 or 3 months where they're very highly correlated, meaning they move sort of in tandem, and then you've seen periods where they completely separate. I mean, over the last period, Bitcoin's just kind of increased in value and gold sort of moved sideways. So, it's a very good investment case for both.
Sure,
I think you just have very different return profiles.
Yeah, there isn't a direct correlation is what I'm saying. So there's no way you can map the one over the other. That's interesting. So quickly tell us about the new promotion and what you guys have got, because it's quite a big announcement, and you can maybe tell us all about that and we'll hear it here for the first time.
Yeah, sure. So I'm talking about how the crypto space is increasing in value. And some people might be going, well, is this the right time to sort of get involved? So very similar to some other promotions that we've run on the show before, we are running a fully covered promotion. It's really just a rebranding of risk-free. People heard risk-free and they went, oh gosh, what is that? That sounds like, what is risk-free? Nothing's risk-free. So we decided to call it fully covered. So what users can do, and this has to be a new sign-up, you head over to www.revix.com. You sign up using the code crypto, mm-hmm. so CRYTPO, and
P-T-O.
When you sign up, When you sign up,
CRYPTO. Let me just get that because you said
yes.
Okay, I just spelled crypto wrong.
So
I also had a bit of a brain spasm. I'm like, huh?
We're gonna have people entering.
So let me repeat that. Let me wake up this morning. So you sign up using the code crypto, CRYPTO.
There we go.
CRYPTO.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I got you.
Yeah, God, third time lucky. There we go. That's embarrassing. So sign up using the code crypto. And then what you can do is you can invest between 2,000 and 5,000 Rand. And what that'll enable you to do is essentially have 10 days with us completely risk-free. Awesome. So when you sign up using that code, you will get an email from us saying you are fully covered for 10 days. And from that point, for the next 10 days, you can go ahead and make a deposit, make an investment. You'll need to invest in one of our bundles. So only one of our three bundles will be covered in this promotion. And you will then be fully covered over that period. If your bundle then increases in value, you'll get to keep all the gains. If your bundle declines in value, we'll top up your account so that you're back to where you started. So if you deposit 2,000 Rand with us, you invest in our top 10 bundle over the 10-day period, it increases to 2,100 Rand. You keep the 100 Rand gain. If it declines 100 Rand in value, we'll pay you back that 100 Rand after the 10-day period.
Yes, I'm going to give you a chance to explain something because it came up in one of the news stories earlier that these people were arrested for being on this Ponzi scheme. And I know that there are lots and lots of very dodgy people out there who are asking people for their money. And it seems that that when times are tough in economic terms like they are now, there are loads of sharks in the world. So, Sean, I want you to explain to me what it is that makes certain places safe and other places not so safe in terms of where you put your money. And then also to make the case for why people might want to invest in Revex rather than on other platforms which are easily available to people, even some of the banks that have now introduced these platforms where you can invest.
Yes, I think one of the biggest things to look at is just how mature and deep is the market. So if you're looking at what I mean by that really is if you look at gold, I mean, there's a long established track record in gold. You've got institutions such as pension funds and endowments. I mean, they don't play by millions. They play by billions and in some cases, trillions of dollars. Mm. And what this means is it's very difficult to move the market. You have an entire investment committee that sit together to make any investment decisions. And what that really means is that there's not going to be the sort of volatile price swings that we see in a lot of other asset classes. So what makes really a less risky investment is sort of those sorts of assets. So that's why you'll hear about bonds. Bonds issued by governments, bonds issued by AAA corporations, they're very safe. And generally speaking, in order to invest in these assets, you actually need a lot of money. So you need, generally speaking, $1 million plus just to get involved in these asset classes. So that is sort of a cornerstone. There's one of many. I mean, I can talk for a good while on this, but that's one of many sort of areas that make an asset class less risky versus more risky. To jump onto then your question just quickly on what makes Revex special, what makes us unique versus other platforms. So firstly, we're really easy to use. I mean, Gareth, you use our platform and you know that it's really simple. I mean, people are really intimidated when they hear the word crypto, I spelled correctly. So they're really intimidated when they hear about the world of weird and wonderful world of crypto. So we make things really simple. I mean, it's really easy to open an account, to make your first investment. It's really easy to track your portfolio. The second thing is that we're cost effective. There's no monthly subscription fees or anything like that. There's a 1% buy and a 1% sell fee. And obviously with this new promotion, you'll be paying no fees. So we cover you fully for the period. And then thirdly, we're backed by a JSE listed company. We're backed by SabVest. They've been listed on the JSE since 1988, which means that we have a whole bunch of regulatory and security documents and whatnot to put together on a monthly basis. And then lastly, and most importantly, we have hands down the best customer service around. So all of our customer service queries get handled within the same day, within 12 hours. Now, this should be the norm, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us have just been sort of scarred by our banks and their terrible customer service. So that's sort of what makes us special.
Mickey's just said
to me about being scarred by a bank.
Oh. Yeah, we've just talked. Pumi has a story about a bank just now. But Mickey has a question for you, Sean, before you go. How do we go about getting our money out if we need our money? So let's say we've invested in one of your platforms on Revex, one of your bundles perhaps, and you decide you've had enough and you want to cash out. Is it fairly simple to do that?
Oh yeah, it's really easy to do. So you can sell out of your investment the moment after making the purchase or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years down the line. So you can choose when you want to sell out. There's no lockup period or anything like that. You'll then sell into either Rands or Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And after you've done that, you can elect to make a withdrawal at any time. And there's a small withdrawal fee. There's a 50 Rand withdrawal fee. And then a 0.0005 Bitcoin withdrawal fee, which is about 75 Rand okay. at current prices.
All right.
And it's really simple. I mean, we'll get your funds to you, generally speaking, within 8 to 12 hours.
Beautiful. Thanks, Sean. Good to see you, dude.
Before you go, Sean, I just want to tell you that it's incredibly difficult for some of us to hear what we can't see. And I think that there are a lot of us who are missing your video. I just want to say...
There we go. I'm going to be completely honest. I joined this with my video on and then it seemed to turn off. So apologies for that.
And also, Sean, don't feel bad for not being able to spell crypto. You know, even parents go, come here, Wena, what's your name? And I'm speaking of my own mother. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had that. So don't feel bad.
I think I should feel bad, given that the entire company is predicated around cryptocurrency as an asset class, right?
So, my mother carried me in her stomach for 9 months, and she forgets. What's your name? Won't you get me some juice? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. At least no one here that's listening to this podcast is not going to know how to enter the promo code when they sign up today.
Good point. Good point.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Sean. Good to see you, dude.
Cool.
Good to see you all too. Have a good rest of the day.
Sean Sanders, you can go to Revix.com to find out more about their products and their various bundles and all the rest of it. And you can sign up for free. And there's that special new offer where you kind of have risk-free, a few days where you can just check it out. And if you lose money, they'll put it back in. And if you mm-hmm. win, you get to keep it. So that sounds like a good deal.
I was listening very intently up until Sean said 0.000, and then that reminded me of yesterday's show. My mind just went to
what?
To yesterday's show about the noughts.
So. Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I actually forgot about that. That's how quickly things
listen go. To the podcast if you missed that.
Things go in and out of my head really, really quickly.
Jesus. Yes.
All right, so lots of one of my friends adopted two kittens out of the blue yesterday, so we had to try and name them. No, but she.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, so she put on the group a picture, and they're cute little cats. I mean, I'm not a cat person, but they are cute. They're little kittens, and she wanted to name them. So I thought of a few names. Maybe you've got some ideas too, because names come up as a subject on this show way too often. And, you know, I've got that list.
We have to see the picture of the kittens. You can't just name something that you can't see.
Let me see if I can find it for you. Hang on.
It's in the how we have to see the kittens, Garrett.
Yeah, but let me see if I can find them. Hang on a second. Now, you see, this is hard work for me. Why are you making me work like this?
Oh,
hold on a second. Okay, wait a sec.
You brought it up.
Yeah. Hang on. I'm going to try and put this on the screen. Let me just see what I'm doing here. Here we go. Okay, they're the little cats.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's something useful for you to. Anyway, I mean, when it comes to naming pets,
the kittens should be called Biden and Trump.
Yeah, that actually came up as a suggestion, or Joe and Kamala, because the one's a male and the other one's a female. So Joe and Kamala came up as names. My best suggestions were Tit and Hat. But I don't know. I don't know if that went down very well. She didn't like that. I don't think she's going to.
Can I give you such an off-color joke? And in the year 2020, even just telling a joke like this, you have to say it is a joke. I do not side with this. No. I am just saying a disclaimer. You can name. Sorry. You can name one of the kittens. Syndrome, so that when it's on you, you keep on saying Down syndrome, Down syndrome.
I'll see
myself out.
You're going straight to
cat
hell
one
for
and
that
cat
one.
Two.
All right, that's not nice. Yeah.
Cat one and cat two.
Yeah, sometimes you just give them a number. Three, get off there. I'm very excited about the Burning Platform, which is coming up next. You can join us on cliffcentral.com. And if you're listening to us live via cliffcentral.com right now, you can also go on and watch us live on the webinar jam that we have going on. You can also pose your questions if you'd like to join in the conversation through the course of the Burning Platform. You're welcome to do that too. There is an option for you to pose a question to either Canthan Pumi or to our guest this morning. We're joined by Davi Skoltz, who is a South African researcher with a special interest in economic policy and electoral politics. Davi's the guy who, Pumi, you remember we spoke to when we had our own municipal and local elections not so long ago. So he's a bit of an election expert.
Davi is on my when Trump came on at 2 a.m. yesterday to say this election is a fraud.
Yeah.
The first people I went to check out on Twitter was like, what is Davi saying? What is Captain saying?
Yeah, well, we'll find out. Trust me, there's going to be a lot. In fact, Toby Les already sent me a message. Listen to this. This will give you an idea of how we've got some very interesting opinions that are going to be moving around during the course of the next little while. Toby Les says he can't wait to hear me and Canton eat humble pie about our predictions around the U.S. election. So we'll see. I mean, remember, it's not over yet, and I'm sure that'll be Canton's point of view. But I don't think that there's anything about this election which is normal. And if you have opinions or questions, please, we'd love to hear from you. You can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. That is the direct WhatsApp line if you want to WhatsApp us a question. Or if you'd like to get on and join us live and even switch on your video so we can see you, then just join us by going to the link on cliffcentral.com. And you could be part of the live show this morning. So that would be nice. It's always nice to see who's actually listening. See a face, hear a voice, that kind of thing. I don't love reading the messages, but it's better than nothing. So if you have something to add, you can join us there too. Cliffcentral.com. It is 7 o'clock on a Thursday morning. The Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's, is coming up next. We would love to hear from you. Join in the party.
Cliffcentral.com.